With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thank you, Juan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on 106.7 The Fan, just after 11 a.m. Really appreciate you guys being part of our Football Friday. John Clayton is on the show in a half hour. We'll ask him what he thinks about Washington and Cleveland. We'll get his thought on some of the best games of the weekend. At 11:18, who is feeling the heat going into week three around the National Football League? But right now, John Hansen is with us. He's one of my favorite fantasy experts. He's got a new site you got to check out, fantasypoints.com. John, always appreciate having you on. Thanks much for joining us on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Doing well, Grant. What's going on? Ready to rock and roll for week three.
I know it. Let's get it going. It's going to be fun. So why don't we start here? You know, last night we saw two running backs dominate the workload for their teams that may not have even been drafted in a lot of leagues. Where are you at on the idea of people that say in PPR leagues, well, I'll find running backs as I go, and I don't need the Barkleys and the McCaffrey types if I can't get those guys in the top five?
Yeah, I wasn't buying into that because people are taking running backs the last year or two very aggressively, and I always felt like you got to get into that running back business. If you were fading the running backs last year, for example, you missed out on Christian McCaffrey. It doesn't make a lot of sense, which pushed the wide receivers down the draft board a little bit, and we know that the depth is outstanding. So even with, you know, two weeks in the books, and, of course, one game in week three, I still would have gone all in on the running backs early because, again, a lot of great depth. Even Terry McLaurin, you know, the guy's unbelievable. He was available most likely in the fifth round as a wide receiver too. Pretty good pick.
John, let's do a little DFS dance here. Who are some great values for this weekend? Who are some must-starts for you?
I have a couple guys that, you know, fit the profile of Mike Evans last week, like coming off a so-so game, really good situation, pretty good matchup. So I think I look first and foremost at Allen Robinson. Well, certainly we don't trust Mitchell Trubisky all that much, but the matchup is fantastic. I think Darius Slayton for the Giants is a good pick. He's only 4,900 on DraftKings, for example, and no Sterling Shepard. Obviously, Barkley's out, and the Niners, all their injuries. It is in New Jersey, a house of horrors for the Niners. So I like him quite a bit. And then even Adam Thielen, who really let me down last week, I think we're looking at a pretty good situation there. I think some points will be scored in that one. And then in that same game, by the way, A.J. Brown will not play. The Viking corners, bad to begin with in week one, as we saw, but also banged up. We might not have Mike Hughes. So Corey Davis for the win here in week number three, guys.
John Hansen at @fantasy_guru on Twitter. So flip that. So this is also be regular year-long fantasy as well as daily fantasy. Players to avoid this weekend or some bust potential?
Well, I mean, certainly you look at like Todd Gurley, what he's doing in the passing attack, which is absolutely nothing. So I can't really use him. I'm not feeling good about the Texan offense as a general statement. Obviously, Deshaun Watson, I think, is pretty shaky right now. It's like it's almost as if they sent away a Hall of Fame receiver type and Watson's lost. I don't know if that's maybe just me, but that's right. It happened. So, yeah, I think Watson is really struggling a little bit, and I'm certainly not looking at David Johnson as a great play. You know, Darren Waller is banged up, but assuming he goes, you know, avoid him like the plague in DFS because he's the only game in town, so we know what Patriots and Bill Belichick are going to do. They're going to look to take out Mr. Darren Waller. Also in that same game, I do love Deontay Johnson. He was one of my number one pumped up players this summer, and he's looking great. But Bradley Roby has been outstanding, shutting down guys like him. So I think maybe this is a week you shy away from him. We also have Odell Beckham. I'm not feeling it against the football team. They're going to be run heavy, and I think Del Rio's doing a pretty good job kind of masking that secondary with that nasty front. So even Odell this week was talking about it, like he's not expecting big numbers. Like they'll take their shot plays. It's kind of like the Vikings, basically the same offense. If Baker Mayfield throws it 19 times in a game, they're happy because that means their running game's going and they're winning.
If you're not following John Hansen on Twitter, you're missing out at Fantasy underscore Guru. Even if you're not a fantasy player, it's just great nuggets and insight on a bunch of teams all over the NFL. John, here in Washington, you mentioned McLaurin, who's special. We're waiting on someone else in this offense to show something. Everyone kind of hyped Antonio Gibson. He's just been okay through a couple of weeks. Give a little breakdown, if you would, on who has potential here in D.C. to emerge as a weapon for Dwayne Haskins, do you think?
Well, I'd go right back to Gibson, though. I think that they want him to be the guy. There's no doubt about it in my mind. I think he's showing some pretty good power. He's just going to get better and better. McKissick is in the mix, we know. But, you know, Peyton Barber went from a hero in week one to, what do you have, one snap, one touch last week. And then Bryce Love, as you know, has been inactive. I think you also look at Logan Thomas. You just hope that he can continue to improve. You know, the quarterback is certainly a little bit of an issue there, holding him back a little bit. But by the way, guys, I mean, Logan Thomas in DFS this week, for example, 3,700, really, really good matchup against the Browns. They're getting crushed by tight ends early on. They're giving up all kinds of production, 8 or 9 grabs a game, and they've already given up 3 touchdowns. But I think when to truly answer the question, the one player who I did think was very intriguing. I had a chance to talk with him at the combine, and a really interesting kid. He's like a Renaissance man, Antonio Gandy-Golden. Of course, he went to college at Liberty there in your backyard. I know he played last week, and he's raw and all that, but in terms of talent, he does stand out to me. Steve Sims, he's been okay, but they really need that big alpha dog on the outside, X receiver. Probably not going to be Gandy-Golden this year, but he's very talented, as you guys know. So he's a guy to keep an eye on in a league where there's nothing on the waiver wire. I could absolutely see him being on the radar for fantasy second half of the season.
Give me some buy low candidates for season-long fantasy, some people that you may be targeting and maybe some frustrated owners might be ready to move on from.
You know, A.J. Green has been brutal in terms of, like, the target, the catch rate, if you will, 35%. But the good news is he's getting a lot of targets. Not his fault that Joe Burrow actually overthrew him on a potential touchdown down the stretch. So I'd be looking to buy low on A.J. Green a little bit. How about Kenyon Drake, the Drake, as we call him? He did get 20 carries last week. I think there's a buying opportunity there. The aforementioned Allen Robinson, I think one of two things is going to happen here with the Bears. Either Trubisky is going to improve, unlikely, or it's going to be Nick Foles' time. Regardless, I think Robinson is looking just a little bit better. I'm still intrigued by DeAndre Swift. It's an ugly committee because the Lions don't know what the hell they're doing, but at some point they'll probably figure it out, and Swift's their most talented guy. He's actually leading their backfield in snap percentage and target percentage, so he's kind of been like their third down back. The aforementioned Gibson, I'd still want to buy low on him. Maybe David Montgomery in Chicago. That was the best game of his career. Obviously, it's a young career. He looked way better, much more explosive. Brandon Ayuk, on the low end, they still do love him. At some point, we'll get Garoppolo back, and we'll actually have some semblance of an offense. And digging real deep for those in leagues where, like, running backs are really at a premium. Sony Michel for the Patriots is not happening right now. So Damian Harris, who's on IR, is scheduled to come off in a week. He was their best back in camp. He was one of their stars of camp, so I wouldn't mind looking to him. I would trade away Deshaun Watson. I would trade away the aforementioned Gurley. I'd also trade away Nick Chubb coming off a big game. I love Nick Chubb, but Kareem Hunt is a real, real problem. And maybe even James Conner. I know if he's on the field, he's going to be fine. He's going to get the ball. I just don't have a lot of confidence in his ability to stay available.
fantasypoints.com for John Hansen's analysis. John, I always try to predict each week which game could end up being Atlanta-Dallas from week two. Now, you're not going to get 79 points, obviously, but the shootout where all the receivers eat, are there any games that jump out at you? It could be that kind of game this week?
Well, certainly Dallas at Seattle, but on the lower end, the sneakier one is Detroit at Arizona. I don't think Patrick Peterson is any good anymore. And assuming they get Galladay back, which I think is a fair assumption, you know, Matt Stafford's completion ratio or rate is under 60% right now. His YPA is under 7 yards. They really miss Galladay. He stretches the field. You know, Kyler's been amazing. D-Hop will probably catch 10 balls on 10 targets against that depleted Lions secondary. So I think we're, you know, probably playing from behind in Detroit with Stafford. He does have weapons. So Stafford, Galladay, Hockenson, maybe a little Marvin Jones. He's been underwhelming. I think that's what we're going for. Then real sneaky, and it's always sneaky because these two teams would love to hide the quarterback, but Titans-Vikings, it does have a total pushing 50. I kind of feel like this could be a little bit of a high-scoring affair because Tannehill, he doesn't need many opportunities to put up numbers as we saw last week. That one there is a sneaky little higher-scoring affair as well.
John, it's great info, man. Really appreciate the time today. Enjoy the games this weekend.
You got it, guys. Later.
John Hansen, an expert when it comes to fantasy. We always learn when we chat with him. Speaking of John's, Clayton will be on the show at the bottom of the hour at 11:30. We'll go around the league and some of the key matchups, get some predictions from him. Who is feeling the heat in week three? We could talk about players here in Washington, but I want to talk coaches, players around the league. You think hot seats? You think guys that have the most pressure that are off the terrible starts? Who needs to play well to get themselves some positive headlines after a couple rough weeks? We'll do that next on Grant and Danny. John Clayton in 12 minutes, Grant and Danny on a Football Friday. You're listening to The Fan, looking forward to our Beltway Blitz at noon. Because it's Friday, we will give you our predictions for Week 3 and our confidence points. The show fight will continue for the top spot. And this is the third week of the NFL season. We're doing that today at 12:45. But, Danny, let's look at who is – I don't even want to call it the hot seat as much as feeling the most pressure right now, because I want to include players as well. I've got four coaches and three quarterbacks, as it were, listed here as guys who could just really benefit from having good games. So we want to start on the sideline or on the field?
You start wherever you want to start, my friend, because I got a few of each, too.
All right, I'm going to go with coaches then.
Go for
I'll give you just one of this list, and we can go back and forth and volley over the net here. I'll go with Dan Quinn of the Atlanta Falcons. They're 0-2. He almost got blown out, according to reports, at the end of last season. There was a lot of thought that maybe they'd move on. He's a defensive-minded coach who came over from Seattle, you'll remember, to be their head coach. Their defense is terrible, and they can't win. And the collapse that they had at the end of their game against Dallas, if it happened in Week 8 or Week 9, of a bad season may have resulted in him losing his job. I'll never unsee those Falcons players seemingly unaware that they were able to field the onside kick, waiting for the ball to get to 10 yards. I have no idea what they were doing. That felt like a meltdown by those players, but also like just really bad coaching as well. Dan Quinn is in big, big trouble. He has to get a win. I think they'll have a chance, actually, to get a win this weekend, even though they are 0-2, and they're playing a 2-0 team. They can beat the Bears. They need to. If he starts and his team starts 0-3, I think the shot clock is on for Dan Quinn in Atlanta.
That's a really good one. I got something similar. You replaced a guy that was fine. There's nothing wrong with this guy that you replaced, but you've been a lot worse since you've been there, Matt Patricia, perceived genius of the Detroit Lions. Nobody thinks of Detroit as being any good, but they were decent for a few years, if you recall. A couple 9-7 seasons under Jim Caldwell. Matt Patricia's basically 3 and a trillion, numbers approximate, since he's taken over. At some point, something good should happen. At some point, something good needs to happen for Matt Patricia and Matt Stafford and these Detroit Football Lions. A defensive genius, their defense, just like Dan Quinn, mind you, terrible, reprehensibly bad. Oh, my God, what are you doing there? So, for a guy that took over for a coach that went 9-7 two straight years, has been 6-10, 3-12, and now off to an 0-2 start. Something good's got to happen for Matt Patricia before he before he gets blown out and can no longer ride the coattails of Bill Belichick.
Yeah, 9-24-1 in two-plus seasons.
I'm sure that's
somewhat
good.
Misleading in terms of comparing him to Caldwell before him, because he lost Matt Stafford last year when they went 3-12-1, and that team would have been just as big a debacle under Caldwell if they lost Stafford. So I always see that stat, like, you fired Jim Caldwell, who's 9-7, for Matt Patricia, who's 3-56-2. Hand over the chin emoji, you know, and it's like, well, are we going to talk about any context here or no? But the bottom line is it's not worth defending the guy. I mean, he's been a bad head coach who's gotten bad results. And more important to me than the win-loss record over the first couple seasons, because generally when you inherit a team, you inherit a bad team. It takes a little while to turn it around. How many veteran players have basically come out after they leave there to say, that guy's clueless? Like, that is not going to work. Darius Slay just demolished him on his way out the door to Philadelphia. Two other guys I've got here. You can pick whichever one you prefer. Bill O'Brien of the Texans.
Mr.
A hard luck 0-2, if you will. They've been outscored by more than any team in football, 31. I don't mean hard luck in that they've almost won as much as, I don't know who they pissed off at the scheduling office. But you're looking at a first week against the Chiefs, a second week against the Ravens, unequivocally the two best teams in football, and a team that we both have in our top five in our NFL power rankings, the Steelers, waiting for them in week three. So they're very likely to be 0-3. But he's just made so many curious trades that have not worked. At some point, I don't know how you stop failing up, but it seems like he needs to, because he's just taken over more and more power in that organization. And the other one is Adam Gase, speaking of failing up, who
there
left a job in Miami where he was going in the wrong direction and immediately got one with the Jets. And they have been probably 32nd out of 32 teams so far, according to most power rankings this year.
Yeah, the O'Brien situation is fascinating, because he has made bad decisions over there. That's he needs to be accountable for that, and that's a thing. So you circle him as the GM, et cetera. But as the head coach, I think there are 30 teams that would be 0-2 for 2 weeks, because they played the two best teams in football. So that's really, really challenging right there, and they have a great chance, as you alluded to, of being 0-3. Let me give you a couple more guys. Carson Wentz, hey, bud. Hey, pal, 2 touchdowns, 4 picks, completing 58% of his passes. He's been dreadful. He's been really, really bad. Last year, he made chicken salad out of you-know-what type ingredients, and it was underrated how impressive it was. This year, I don't think we're even talking about how bad he's been, and I don't quite get why. I know their offensive line isn't particularly good, but even still, he has not been very good at all. He needs something positive to happen before we have a different narrative about him. And let me go to the Minnesota organization. You can pick quarterback Kirk Cousins. You can pick Mike Zimmer. But they have been among the worst teams in the NFL through a couple of weeks. It's when you have a few big salaried guys, you sort of let some peripheral players go. I thought they wouldn't miss some of their defensive losses as badly as they have. I thought they wouldn't be, you know, particularly good there, but I thought they'd be adequate. And that was wrong. They've given up the second most points in the league behind the terrible Atlanta Falcons through a couple of weeks. And at least their offense was terrible last week against the Colts. They need to get going in a positive direction before there's major changes there.
So to your point on their defense, and you may have been more right than you think. Remember that Danielle Hunter is one of a couple of their players that are still there that hasn't played yet, who I think is the most underrated defensive player in the league and maybe a top five or so guy on that side of the ball in football. But, yeah, they lost a lot on defense, and they've been bad. I'd put Cousins on the list as a guy that has to play well this week. Wentz with him. I had three quarterbacks. There are two of them. I'll get to my third in a second. So as far as Wentz goes, I don't know how or why Eagles fans seem to still be questioning whether or not he can play. He has had a terrible two games. If this was week 11 or 12 in any given season, it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal, because it's the start of a season. You know, here we are. But to your point, what he did last year with their lack of wide receivers was amazing. I thought that was a signature season, so to speak. He threw for 4,000 yards without a guy having 500. I don't think that had ever happened before. He can play. He has not played well the last 2 weeks. He's played badly. Cousins is coming off of a terrible, almost like a pre-getting the job in 2015 level, bad game for the Vikings. He's the kind of guy. Wentz is kind of in this category, too. There are certain guys, doesn't matter what happens, right? Doesn't matter how good they are for how many years or how many performances that in big spots they have, or if they go to New Orleans and have a banner game and a playoff win against Drew Brees. As soon as they stink for a game again, it's like nothing's ever happened. It's like it's their second game all over again. And that's always going to be Kirk Cousins. Always going to be Kirk Cousins. Always going to be Carson Wentz. You're bad for a couple weeks. I told you this guy was bad. Forget that for 5 years he's averaged 4,000-plus yards and 28 touchdowns and 11 picks. But I told you this guy was bad. There are just certain quarterbacks who have that. Like if Deshaun Watson has that game, doesn't matter. We love Deshaun Watson. Russell Wilson, and I won't even say that. He's too good. He's in a different category. Like even Stafford, there's just guys that have been blessed with people like them more for whatever reason. But yeah, Cousins, because the noise is loud and the Wolves are at the door, he just got paid again. He's not going anywhere. But he needs to play well just to get people off his back. Same with Carson Wentz. I mean, I could see Philly turning on him. The last quarterback I've got here, and I'll be real quick because we're late, Baker Mayfield. Mm. A week ago at this time, he had the most pressure in the league on him probably. He had one really good game against the Bengals, who he had a career rating over 100 against anyway. And it's like we've completely forgotten that the Baker Mayfield storyline is going to go on all year. If this defensive line chews him up and makes him look like Wentz in week one, you don't think people are back to screaming about how bad Baker Mayfield is?
That's right.
A lot of pressure on him going into that.
It's what he does,
game.
Man. The Wolves are at the door. He plays well for a week, staves it off, and then he plays bad for a couple weeks, and we kind of start this cycle again.
John Clayton joins us next on Grant and Danny. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan, our double play at the bottom of the hour and Beltway Blitz coming up to keep you up to speed on everything going on with all the teams in D.C. sports. Right now, let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome on to the show, one of our favorite football guests. Doesn't get a whole lot better than talking ball with John Clayton, who we watched on ESPN for years. You can read his work now in the Washington Post. John, we were talking about coaches that are in some trouble. I'm going to name four guys for you. I want you to tell me which coach you'd most want to be this morning and which coach you'd least want to be this morning. You ready?
Okay, go ahead.
Bill O'Brien, Adam Gase, Matt Patricia, and Dan Quinn.
In this order, I think you go with Adam Gase number one because, I mean, here's an offensive coach and they're the worst offense in football and they've got so many injuries. They're non-competitive. You got problems with the play calling. He hasn't done hardly anything to develop Sam Darnold. Number two would be Matt Patricia. Patricia, you go back, and here's a defensive coach, and he has had now four consecutive games where he's lost double-digit leads. And if you go through his entire career as a head coach, you know he's 2-7-1 when he's had double-digit leads. Number three, I think that you would put Dan Quinn, although I think that the owner is going to stand by him and not fire him during the season. But with the way things are going, he's likely to be gone at the end of the year. And then number four would be Bill O'Brien, who's in deep, deep trouble. But the problem is the owner's afraid of him. And so because of that, I guess he has the edge in not having it done. But, I mean, this team has gotten worse the last couple of years, particularly on defense. They can't stop the run. You know, they have too much money tied up on offensive players at the expense of the defense. And they had I know it's a tough start for the season when you go against the three top teams in the AFC, but they're non-competitive so far in these games.
John, what team has performed the most above preseason expectations, and what team has performed most below preseason expectations for you?
I'd have to say right now you give it the Rams because I thought with the fact that they lose 11 defensive starters over the last 2 years that they weren't going to be very good on defense, and yet here they are 2-0, looking good on defense, looking good on offense. So they've kind of surprised me a lot in the sense that they can do it because you look at the team and it's like, name me the other eight starters once you get past Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, and Michael Brockers. It's like, I can't even name them. I know Vic Rapp because he's a safety that went to UW out here in the area I live. And so it's like, but other than that, don't know these guys. I think the most underachieving team so far would have to be the Minnesota Vikings because I thought that they had a chance to still win the division, but they're terrible on defense. You know, offensively, Kirk Cousins is really struggling so far. I mean, they're a mess.
John Clayton on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. Your biggest and best game in week three is on Monday Night Football. We got to wait the longest for it. The Ravens and the Chiefs. Is it going to live up to the hype? What are you expecting?
I expect a great game. Yeah, because here's the interesting part. It's like we all know that Patrick Mahomes, if you don't go for Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, he's got an incredible streak in the sense that, he's now had six consecutive double-digit deficits and he's been able to overcome them. Then you look at Baltimore, I mean, it's like, other than the playoff game that they lost, they're just destroying everybody because they are better on defense. You know, they're better on offense. They run the ball so well. Lamar Jackson looks even better than last year. But I just think this is going to live up to the hype because, you know, you still have Patrick Mahomes, who I still think is better than Lamar Jackson. So you give him a chance. But this is, I think, you know, certainly the highlighted football game of the year.
John, how much trouble is Philadelphia in?
A lot. Yeah, because you think about the fact that, you know, Carson Wentz is off to a terrible start. Oh, he's not doing well. I mean, he was so bad last week that the cardboard fans were booing him. They actually had some boos actually piped in on the sound system. So that's bad. They're down four offensive linemen that have had to go on injured reserve. That's not good. Their receiving core is decimated. That's not good. And defensively, I know Greg Schwartz admitted he didn't call a good game last week. So I think they're in a lot of trouble. I guess, you know, and particularly, you know, Dallas, their defense isn't that good right now, but I still think that they're 2-3 games behind Dallas as far as where they are in the standings. But, no, they're in deep trouble.
John Clayton on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Is Kyle Shanahan going to be able to keep the 49ers treading water with all their injuries?
Well, this week they will because they're playing the New York Giants. Now, what you have to worry about is that in the back of their heads, even though the MetLife Stadium turned out to be okay with the turf, that that's still going to be in the back of their mind. But once they get past this game, then things are going to be tough because, I don't think I've seen a team as obliterated as this. You know, what was a great defensive line is now down three top players. You know, they're down Richard Sherman at cornerback, two running backs. It's pretty bad, and I think they do get George Kittle back this week. But so I think they can win this week, but after that, it's going to be a strain. And of course, they did officially announce that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to start. They're going to be out there with Nick Mullins as a backup as a starting quarterback.
Look at the AFC East for me, real quick. Buffalo 2-0, but it was kind of shaky here against Miami. That proved themselves to be pretty frisky, kind of as of last night, John. New England lost a tough game on the road where we could have a very different story if Cam Newton gets over the top and scores that late touchdown. Give me your thoughts on a Buffalo-New England two-horse race in the AFC East.
Yeah, because, again, Cam Newton was fantastic last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, he really played a great game, and this is the most accurate I've seen him go. And so I think they've done some work with his footwork. They're doing well there. But the one concern, I think, for the Patriots is, you know, their ability to stop the run. You know how good they are as far as the coverage they have in the secondary. They got the three of the best trio of cover cornerbacks in football. But when they go into nickel, which they do most of the time, they are vulnerable to the run with the four linebackers that they lost and the two safeties they lost in the offseason. So because they gave up 154 yards to Seattle. What's important now for Buffalo is Josh Allen is now finally connecting on his long passes. Now, again, I know they won against the Jets in Miami. So you put that into a factor and say, okay, those are two pretty bad teams. Even Miami played well, but a lot of it was bad Jacksonville last night. But, you know, if you had a Josh Allen who was averaging 19.2 points a game in his starts in his first 3 years, and now he's up to 28. And if he can keep that going, I think he can still squeeze out the division. Because, again, you know they have a good defense. And you know that if you're adding 9 points to their offense, and maybe that's going to come down once they start playing better teams, which they are this week against the Rams. But I still think that you have to respect them. I think right now they're the better of the two teams.
John Clayton, read his work in the Washington Post. Thank you so much for having you on. Always great.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, John.
Doesn't get a whole lot better than him. If I had a dollar, Danny, for every hour of time I spent watching programs that he provided analysis on for football growing up as a kid, I could go buy myself a car today. I mean,
I got a down payment.
He was NFL coverage to me my entire childhood. He's just so good. I love having him on the show. For a long, long time, we weren't able to, but it's a gift and a treat that we're able to now. The legacy of Bruce Allen lives on next with winning off the field. You call us, tell us how you are in the win column. What teeny tiny thing in your day has happened that no one else would care about? 800-636-1067 on the AAA Always On Call listener lines if you want to be a part of winning off the field next. Time to figure out how you are winning off the field. Pretty simple. You call us at 800-636-1067. You tell us about a moral victory. Tiny little thing that happened to you today somebody else would not care about, frankly. Something that if you told us, hey, this just happened, means nothing to us, but it was cool for you. Danny will give you an example in a second. I'll tell you how Pat Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are winning off the field. ESPN is apparently going to start Monday Night Football's broadcast with help from Disney sibling Marvel, as they're going to turn some of the Chiefs and Ravens into superheroes, and the show's open. This, according to Brian Steinberg, the editor at Variety. Pretty neat that they get to be superheroes, therefore they are.
Winning off the field?
That is pretty neat. I'd like to be a superhero. What I am, though, is an awkward dad, and I'm also a coach. That's right, GP. The seven-year-olds that make up the Stoddard Wolfpack will be getting underway this weekend. Now, if you recall, we've not had any training sessions, and we have no kits. We didn't even have a pitch until very recently. All these are pretentious terms, of course, that shouldn't be used. This is America. But, GP, here's the deal. You and I, thank you very much, Tom, I was waiting on it. You
Wolfpack
and I
have, rides again.
Have something that we're doing tonight at 5:30 p.m. Our original practice time for tonight, once we finally got a schedule and everything, it was only late this week that everything was finalized. We will play tomorrow. We're supposed to practice at 5:30. Well, you and I
Danny
are doing
Rauer.
A Nationals Facebook Live situation at 5:30. So I frantically emailed all the parents and said, hey, I got to push practice back. Once I'm done with this Nationals situation, then I can come. And everybody said no problem.
Danny
and
Rauer.
Nobody was mad at me. I thought people were going to be very mad at me because it's their precious time. But no, everyone's just so grateful to get out of the house. Because the Wolfpack rides again, because practice was able to be pushed back, because of my work commitment with you, I am.
Winning off the field.
Virginia Lottery has a new draw game. It's Keno. You pick up to 10 numbers. Keno draws 20, then you match. The more numbers you match, the more you could win. Winning off the field brought to you by the Virginia Lottery. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. See how the people are winning. Derek's in D.C. on line one. Derek, be quick. We got a lot of calls. What do you got?
So I go out this morning, do a few trips of Uber. Now I need gas. I flip down my head visor. There's $40. Now I don't have to go all the way back to D.C. So I am
winning off the field.
Look at my
Bam.
Guy. $40 he didn't know 40. He had. Rich and Orny, how are you winning off the field?
Richard.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy?
Wife called me from the store yesterday. And for the first time in 9 years, offered to buy me a six-pack of beer. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field.
Wow. If we had more time, I'd want a backstory on that.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty good, though. She's never once said, hey, Rich, would you like some beer? And she did that yesterday. Maybe she wants him to take the edge off. Maybe he's been a little bit antsy.
I mean, that'd be fair to say.
A lot to deal with around
Thank
the house.
You, Coach.
Let's go to Dave in Ashburn on line three. Dave, honor Bruce Allen, please. How are you
winning? Rich's relationship has just moved to a new level. You know, when you go to the office bathroom, you're done washing your hands, and you go to pull off that paper towel, you just get that little piece, and then you try to grab the rest of it, you wind up just a big ripped up mess.
The worst.
But today, I washed my hands, I went to pull the paper towel, and I got one full square sheet. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Attaboy. He knows how to play the game. He was shot out of a cannon there, wasn't he? Maddie and Stafford, keep the train on the tracks here, buddy. How are you winning off the field?
I had this really realistic dream, like the kind you know you feel like you're there, and it was 2002. I was back in Rosenthal's basement with all my best friends. Therefore, I was.
Winning off the field?
Rosenthal's basement. What do you think Maddie was doing in Rosenthal's basement in 02, Danny?
Is that a reference I should know, by the way? Is that a millennial thing that you? That's a movie thing, or is it just a person?
No, I'm guessing
just one
that's
of his
buddy. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I think he had a dream. He was back at his friend's house kicking it in 02.
I can't imagine what they were doing was legal.
It was probably not legal. That's my guess.
They were annihilating beers, I'll tell you that.
Although in 02, how old? I mean, he's not that much older than me. He would have been like
close to my 15-ish? Age, probably, right?
No, I think he's closer to Maddie and Stafford. I would say he's like 32, 33.
Oh, he's more GP than he is DR.
So at 15, they're not getting any major shenanigans. But I'll bet whatever they were doing, they wouldn't have wanted their parents to come down while they were doing it. All right, let's get to Cheese in Silver Spring. Cheese, how are you winning off the field?
Cheese.
I love the both of you very much, and Tommy and DR. This morning I was making breakfast, opened up the cereal bag. There was enough cereal for one full bowl of cereal, therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
Your sweet soul. Alex, you get the last word. We got about 30 seconds left. How are you winning off the field?
Hey, guys.
So I hate street parking in D.C., and I had an errand to run in Washington I couldn't avoid. And when I got there, lo and behold, I got rock star parking. Therefore, I am
winning off the field.
Thank you, sir. There is nothing worse than knowing you got to go do something in D.C. and that anxiety and fear over the parking situation, Danny.
It's even caused you not to be the driver on trips in the past, hasn't it?
Only
just knowing the anxiety that's coming?
Metro, passenger, whatever you want. The Beltway Blitz is next, kicking off the second hour of the show.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.